Good morning. what a blessing to be here this morning. I did cross my mind this morning about even some of our brothers and sisters up in Canada that are not gathering this morning like we are here, and how soon that might happen to us here. We don't know that, but I want to be desire to thank the Lord here this morning. Maybe we could just bow our heads here and thank Him. Eternal Father, we bow before You here. The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the one we've been worshiping this morning, the one that the multitude of saints in the past have bowed their knees and worshiped before You. The same Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's come to You in that name this morning, O Lord. We just ask, Father, that You would just continue to be with us here the remainder of the day, Lord. And soften our hearts, Father, to be able to take in Your word, to take in instruction, Father, even as we heard here, to recommit to purpose in our heart, Father, to love and serve and follow the Lord Jesus to the end. We just thank You again. We worship You in Jesus' name. Amen. I can never sing that verse or that song there that Jonathan there talked about, I will be true to thee, without thinking about the first time that I heard it. It was years and years ago before the hymns of the church here was even printed, and I didn't know anything of the hymnary yet. We went to a funeral of an older gentleman that would help us come out to the farm from Bryan, Ohio, and he would help us drive. He would haul our hay for us, and back when we were farming with horses. And anyway, make long story short, we ended up. He got killed. He was driving his motorcycle. When you would know him, you would never think that he'd like to drive a motorcycle. He was just a gentle old man. But he was one of his hobbies to get on his motorcycle and go for a cruise. But he was just having a pleasant drive through the countryside, and an individual ran a stop sign and killed him. Anyway, we went to that funeral, and we were actually pallbearers, me and my brothers and I. And that's where I first heard that song, I Will Be True to Thee. And it really spoke to me. We were searching for light. And now as the years go by and I learn a few more things, I just shake my head at the disobedience that was there at that service. And how that kind of pertain to my message or to what I feel the Lord has laid on my heart here this morning. Moe's called and asked if I would have the opening here this morning. A few weeks ago, I've been reading through Mark. And this one verse, a part of this one verse here in Mark, had been ringing through my mind, and it just kept on even after Moses asked. And so I feel like, yeah, it's a topic that about the hardness of our hearts. And I left it be. I feel like it's for myself here. First of all, I'm just sharing my own meditations here. But this verse was, this verse we sang in 357 was a comforting verse. The last verse in 357 says, "Jesus, thou friend divine, our Savior and our King, thy hand from every snare and foe shall great deliverance bring. Sure as thy truth shall last, to Zion shall be given the brightest glories earth can yield and brighter bliss of heaven." But Jesus is the answer to our dilemma. So let's be encouraged. As we go through here, I will trust the Lord. So we'll read the scriptures here in Mark 3. I think I'll read the first five verses here. And I also thought, as I told the children here, it helps when we realize that each verse in the scriptures is relevant for today. And these people back then were people like we. So Mark 3, verse 1. "And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he said unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other." So that was the phrase there. Looking about him with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. And, you know, some of my first thoughts were, well, Jesus is, you know, talking to the Pharisees, you know, that religious group there that, you know, they just were not open to anything. But I think it might, you know, as I kind of looked up some words here, it hits home a little closer than I thought, or maybe even than we care to admit. I looked up the word, some Greek, the Greek definition there, 46:43, and these words were, I'm not going to try to pronounce the Greek word, but callousness, stubborn, and blindness are three words. I think another one was unfeeling. As I started looking into this, I realized that maybe we sometimes don't realize a little hardness gathering there in our hearts, where we can have some callousness or maybe some stubbornness or maybe some blindness. I looked up callous, insensitive, unfeeling, uncaring, hardened in mind. That was in 1828. And also looked up stubborn. Unreasonably obstinate, inflexibly fixed in opinion, as a stubborn son, a stubborn mind or soul. Do I have an uncaring attitude? What about being uncaring for the poor? What about uncaring about the spiritual well-being of my brother? And now I know this hardness of heart, it could go many different directions on what could be the symptoms or on the hardness of heart. When a little bit of hardness creeps into our hearts, what could be, you know, some of the things that show up? Worldliness and but it seems like my thoughts, meditations as I prayed went more into the direction of probably things that I am probably not having victory over like I should be. I don't know. I want to continue to seek God in this. Uncaring about the spiritual well-being of my brother. Am I uncaring about choices and decisions I make in life, whether they are offensive to my brother or not? A caring heart will be very diligent in praying for a struggling brother. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I thought about that. I thought about how easy it is to, when you see maybe something that in the church, in the brotherhood that you are not comfortable with, or how easy it is to do everything else besides get on our knees and with our whole heart and mind fervently pray for our brother. a few opposites. A verse that is opposite of uncaring. 1 Peter 1:22. Sometimes that helps. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. A pure heart will not be hard and uncaring. The pure in heart see God. A few more opposite words of hardness and callousness. Tenderhearted, charitable, kind, compassionate, gentle, loving, forbearing, sensitive. A challenging verse here in Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. a few verses in Colossians 3:12. Colossians 3:12 and 13. Verses with the word charitable and forbearing. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And you can't read that verse without reading 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Hardness. I believe hardness will have to go if we purpose in our heart to live out these verses. Kindness. Kind is one of the words opposite of callousness. In Proverbs 31:26, I thought for a young sisters this could be a lifelong goal. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. That I'll live under that law. If we're afraid of law. A soft and pliable and yielding heart will not want to grieve Jesus. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This Jesus in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Ephesians 1:7. This Jesus who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Revelations 5:9. So as Jesus looked about there, and He was grieved at the hardness of their hearts. A heart that those Pharisees, those people that were more concerned about their positions, they were more concerned about you name it. But they were more concerned about all these other things other than caring for this man with a withered hand. And a soft and pliable heart, I believe, would have, as Jesus looked about Him there, a soft and pliable heart, I believe, would have broken and repented. I thought of the verse about, it came to me about guiding us with His eye. If I look that verse up in Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. A soft heart will not need a bit and a bridle, like the next verse talks about. Psalm 32:9 talks about the horse that needs to be like a horse that needs a bit and a bridle. And again, I there would have been a time when I looked at these verses, and I, again, like I said at the beginning, I would think, well, yeah, he's talking to those scribes, Pharisees. But I believe that if a little bit of hardness comes in and it's not repented of, and the hardness grows, it can turn into devastating scenarios just like this. I thought of the verse, Hebrews 3:10. It says, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." So I thought of a little hardness creeping in my heart and unwilling to repent and to get clean of it. Will probably keep growing, and we will keep erring in our hearts. It is a little like the commentator pointed out how Jesus is a little parable on the wineskins in chapter 2, verse 22. I'll just read that. "And no man putteth wine into the bottles, and no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles." And I hadn't thought of it quite in this way before. But so the old wineskins are not open and pliable to accepting new life-changing truths that Jesus might be offering to us. So the heart rejects the truth because it does not seem to want to fit in. And so that was kind of sobering to think of that. Again, like I said, there could be many ways that many directions you could go with what could be the symptoms of the hard heart. But it seemed like this was a way that the Lord was directing my thoughts, and I want to continue to seek Him in that way. And even as I said at the beginning, we want to look to Jesus, our Redeemer and our Friend. And I just wanted to close here with some verses in that way, that truly have a Friend and Savior that wants to help us gain victory over any hardness that might be in our hearts. John 16:33. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." In Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." So that we would continue to fight the good fight of faith. In Revelation 3:21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sit down with my Father in his throne." I am very blessed to be here. I want to allow the Holy Spirit to do His work and to be sensitive, to allow the Heavenly Father to reveal any hardness that might want to creep into my heart. And I also want to, by His grace, intercede for my brothers and sisters in Christ in this way. I think that's all I have. I again want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. And the Lord bless you all.